Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the prophecies of the end time. Right now, we are in the midst of a tremendous economic crisis. Where will it lead? What will happen? Why are we in such a mess? How is it going to affect you? How's it going to affect where you live? How's it going to affect your country? How's it going to affect your economic well-being or lack thereof? There is coming a world economic system, and this system is based upon debt, which means that it is created by lending. Today, we have virtually no real money. Please understand, the only real money is gold and silver. Now, there's paper money, but you read the paper money here in the United States, and it says this note, meaning borrowed money, is legal tender for all debts, public and private. Now, we are in such a system that, as we have seen in segment number one, has been created by Satan the devil. And Satan the devil even offered all of this to Jesus Christ during his 40-day temptation, when he told them that he would give them all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them, meaning everything about them, their power, their armies, their finances, their wealth, if you will worship me. Well, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." See, Satan has always wanted to replace God. And Satan is the one who has set up the whole system that we have today. And it's all based upon debt. And the banks lend money based upon how many debt notes they have. And here's one thing for sure that the Bible tells us concerning debt. Let's read it here. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, always has been, always will be, and it's not going to change. And communism and equal sharing never solved the problem. Now continuing, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Are you in debt? Do you have a lot of bills? What happens when you don't have enough funds? And I won't call it money because it's not money. You look at your bank account and it doesn't say money. It says funds available. Now, you can write a check or you can use a credit card, and all of these are a numbering system. Want you to understand that. Everything today is transacted by digital numbering system. Very little so-called cash is used. Very few people really understand the value of gold and silver. And hardly anyone understands what is God's financial system. The bank's assets are mostly all debt instruments, meaning they hold a mortgage or they hold a loan paper. You've borrowed money to buy a house, to buy a car, to buy other things. You make payments. There's interest to be paid. You have credit cards, you can buy this, you can buy that. Many people also have debit cards, which then is you have the one card and you use it instead of money. But it is all digitally controlled. Now, these are called the currencies of the world. Now, I've got a book here called The Single Global Currency, and you can go online and look up their website. This book was published in 2006, and what we are going to cover today are the pitfalls that come with the digital money system that we have today and the many different currencies that we have in the world today fighting and competing against each other, and the money exchanges between the currencies based on their value, of which most of it is very speculative, and it is not backed by real wealth such as gold or silver. They're all digital entries. Now, these are going to be used by the world's elite. And there is a world elite system that openly worships Satan the devil, that controls the finances, that controls the religions, that controls the governments. You've heard of a shadow government? Now, when a nation becomes a debtor nation, like we are today, like Europe is today, almost every nation in the world is a debtor nation. And they owe that money to the banks, to the bondholders, to the wealthy, to the rich. Taking this proverb that we read, look at Greece and Portugal and Ireland and Spain. Are they not the slave to the lender? Hey, yes, boy. They're putting great restrictions on them, correct? The euro in Europe is in such trouble because of these economic things and debt that the euro came very close to crashing here recently. The dollar has come very close to crashing on several occasions. That's why back in 2008, when the Wall Street was ready to collapse, that the G20 organization of the leading central banks of the world began to coordinate all of their policies, all of their capital reserves, all of their cash requirements, all of their debt instruments, and so forth. But they still operate on a debt system. Now, let me read you from page 36 of this book. It says, there are three types of financial crises. Currency crises, banking crises where banks failed, and debt crises where individuals, corporations, and nations default on their debts. Now, what happens when all three of these come together? We're very close to that now, aren't we? Greece is right at it right now. And that can happen even here in the United States of America. Now, at a conference in 2006 on world economies, there is the ever-present risk that these balances will not prove sustainable and the adjustment process will be disrupted. If that happens, there will be serious consequences for the U.S. economy and the global economy. That's the currency crisis. The value of the dollar goes down and prices go up. Have you been seeing that? Yes, indeed. Isn't it interesting that these things are now affecting the greater portion of the world's population? And that's by no coincidence, because it's all headed toward one thing, as this book points out. A single world currency. And remember, he who holds the gold makes the rules. And remember, we're going to cover this again, but if you are in a system that is like it is now, everything is digital. Oh, yes, credit cards are nice. They even have wave technology where you don't even have to put your credit card in. You just wave it by a terminal and everything is registered. Now, we're going to talk about the mark of the beast and how that fits into it. But there's going to have to come first a single world currency, and that is going to have to be backed by a world financial institution. because all of the nations with all of their debts are coming to a day of reckoning, and that day of reckoning is going to be the coming of the one world currency. The only way to rescue it is to do that, and I'll explain how that will work. Now, the author writes here, the next currency crisis has not occurred. A specific cost cannot be predicted in advance, but by definition, a currency crisis affects all the users of a currency. Hundreds of billions of dollars are at risk, as well as livelihoods of millions, if not billions, of people. Every currency crisis that occurs until the implementation of a single global currency will have been totally avoidable and a vast waste. But see, based on profligate spending, profligate borrowing. And right now, the United States of America borrows 40% of all the funds that the U.S. government uses. And there is coming a global world currency. In the book, Aftershock, The Coming Financial Meltdown, the author talks about these bubbles: real estate bubble, stock market bubble, private debt bubble, discretionary spending bubble, the dollar bubble, the government debt bubble. So here is the way that we're going to come to a single world currency. And then I will explain to you the power of the United States Federal Reserve Bank. And I will explain to you exactly what it is. And remember, the G20, those are all the central banks of the world working in concert together. Is that not a one-world system? And don't you have to have a one-world system before you get a one-world currency? Yes. So how's the one-world currency going to come? First of all, you have to start with uniform rules for the banks. Then that happens, then you're going to have an international monetary unit. Have you heard about that? And that's going to come about first with the dollar, the pound, the euro, and the yen, and the Swiss franc. We already have such international banks ready to step in. The next evolution of money will be the development of an international agency beyond what we already have. The two most powerful that we have in the world today are, number one, the Bank of International Settlements. Number two, combined with the International Monetary Fund. Number three, the World Bank. But actually, stronger than all of those combined today is the Federal Reserve of the United States of America. It is the wealthiest and most powerful financial bank in the world. It has nothing to do with the federal government. It is an international private bank that loans money to America. All money that is spent by the United States government must first be generated by borrowing from the Federal Reserve Bank. And they control the interest rates, they control the currency output, they control the banking reserves. And please understand this, every debt instrument or security is an asset. As an asset then, according to the banking rules, the bank can loan up to 90% of the value, sometimes even up to 96% of the value, of the assets that it holds. So it creates money out of thin air. And then they loan this to the government. They loan this to individuals. They loan it to corporations. Likewise with all the entire banking system. And remember, the borrower is the slave of the lender. Now, I want to talk about the Federal Reserve to give you an idea of the scope of its lending power. Number one, here's something that most people don't realize. The Federal Reserve owns what is called the Depository Trust Corporation. Have you ever heard of that? Probably not. What is it? Well, when they first conceived of stocks and bonds, the one who would want to buy them would receive an official stock or bond that was sealed, official, and they would hold them. So when they would buy it, then they would have to wait for the stocks or bonds to arrive. Now, since everything has been digitized for the past nearly 10 years, you no longer receive the actual stock or bond in your hand. Same way with houses, same way with cars. If you hold clear title to something, your house, or stocks or bonds that you hold in your hand, you have a loyal, that is, primary use, and the use of it is yours. The value of it is yours. The interest is paid to you. If you want to sell it, then you have to produce the stocks, send them out to a broker, and then sell them. But now with the digital system, all of this is eliminated. All the original stocks and bonds and all original debt instruments are deposited in the Depository Trust Corporation owned by the United States Federal Reserve. Now, all of those stocks and bonds that they hold in the Depository Trust Corporation are worth $24 trillion. Plus, they hold approximately between 6 and 8 more trillion of United States government bonds that they have purchased. Now, remember the banking rule that I told you about. Let's put together all the other deposits that they have from other nations, which they do, put together their control of the U.S. gold reserves, which they do, put together all the debt instruments that the Federal Reserve itself personally owns and holds, they have approximately $50 trillion reserve on which to lend money. If the Federal Reserve wants to loan out up to 90% of that $50 trillion in digital dollars, stocks and bonds that they hold, guess how much money they could loan with just a 10% reserve? $4.5 quadrillion. In other words, almost an unlimited supply. Now, this gives you an idea what's going to happen when there is a currency crisis and all of these notes then are transferred over to the international bank, the coming international bank that's going to be a combination of the five currencies that I mentioned, the dollar, the pound, the euro, the Swiss franc, and the yen. When all of those are combined together, the total assets of that are going to be something like $100 quadrillion, maybe more. Now, when you trade stocks and bonds today, you only have beneficial use of it. Just like if you buy a car and borrow the money to buy it, the title goes to the note holder. He holds the note. That is an asset to him. which then he can again loan out money and multiply and multiply and multiply this, and that's how the whole debt system works. Now, let me read to you from Forbes Business Magazine, and during all of these financial crises in America and in Europe, they have loaned out $16 trillion in bailouts. Now, that's all they have reported. And they were forced to do this because Bernie Sanders, from the state of Vermont, the independent senator, he put in there that the Federal Reserve had to give it an accounting. So this is the first time that there is an accounting. Hasn't happened since it began in 1913. Now, if you want to read an interesting book, you get the book from Jekyll Island, and that'll tell you how the Federal Reserve came into existence. So in the first audit of the Fed in the United States history, the findings verify that over $16 trillion was allocated to corporations and banks internationally, purportedly for financial assistance during and after the 2008 financial crisis, not to say anything of what they have loaned to Europe at the present time, and not to say how they have increased their assets by the dollar reserves that the European banks have now. They have transferred those over and deposited them in the care of the United States Federal Reserve. Though it was great fanfare when Sanders asked for the audit, the findings of the audit were almost completely overlooked. Even with as high a number as $16 trillion staring us in the face. This kind of thing, combined with those five basic currencies, are the next step in the evolution of money for developing an international agency to coordinate the founding of a world currency. So what we need to look for is this. There is coming a currency crisis, a debt crisis. Government, corporations, and individuals preceded by rampant inflation. And then when the aftershock hits, bang, and the whole financial system collapses, everyone is going to say, we got to fix it, we got to fix it, we got to fix it. And guess what? Guess what? The central banks will say, we have a plan. And they will establish the World Bank. So there are many ways you can check out on this for the truth of it. But this all fits into the prophecies that we have covered back in Revelation 13. Now, in the next segment, we will get to it and see what else is being planned and worked out for the coming mark of the beast. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.